Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Standard time. We ask you now to join us with devotion. If I could get someone to read our introductory scripture as this, and that would be 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, Lester, would you read that?
The entire chapter?
2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 10th through the 13th verses. And if I could get someone who would be willing to, Greg, if you're there, would you be willing to do the prayer?
I'm here.
Would you be willing to do the prayer?
Okay. Yes.
And James, if you would do, if you would do the closing prayer for this evening, okay? I have a song tonight that I'm going to play from June Rochelle.
There was this situation, and I had to talk to God about it. And I said, God, what do I do? And I didn't know how I would act or respond in this situation, but I asked God, would He still love me? And He said, June, I love you, and I'm here for you for the rest of your life. And not only am I here for you, but I'll give you the desires of your heart. And this is what He said to me.
I will never leave you or turn my back on you. If I be for you, tell me who can be against you. Is there anything too hard for me to do? And if I said it, shall I not make it good?
Oh,
2 Peter 3, 10 through 13 says, But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and its speedy coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells.
Amen. Let us bow here. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to open up your word. Your word is the truth. Your word is light. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light in our pathway. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for the topic. We thank you for the studious teacher who's going to break unto us the bread of life. We ask, God, that you would continue to bless this Bible study. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Dr. Susie? Hello?
I'm here on the line.
I think
we're
hearing
Dr.
Susie.
On you.
This is Greg, and I know that this Bible study on heaven has meant a lot to me. It's caused me to reflect on the promises that God has for us and to look forward in expectation for his appearing. Because there's a lot of things here on this earth that we go through challenges, trials and tribulations to do it all. You know, there is a reward. There's a great reward for those who can press toward the mark and endure unto the end. So that's what that is mean for me. Amen.
Amen.
I do know that Lester, that Dr. Susie wanted you to talk about your view on heaven and the souls of men. Am I right about that?
Yes, you are. Well, I guess now is as good a time to do that as any. And the perspective of the soul that I bring to the table is that man is a three-part being. Man is body, soul, and spirit. And it's interesting because in Genesis, the spirit of man was created first, and then the body of man was born from the dust of the earth, and then the soul of man was breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living being. In our life, when we take our first breath, that is the beginning of our life, our existence under the sun, and when we take our last breath, that is the end of our life and our existence under the sun. And one of the verses that helps to kind of point this out is in Hebrews 4:12, where it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So what we see here is that there is a distinction between the soul and the spirit. And that distinction is something that is really important for us to understand, because in the world, many times we refer to all things that refer to life as having spirit. And there is some legitimacy in that there are references in the word where it is actually saying spirit, but it's translated soul. In the Bible, there are only three words for the reference to soul. Two of these words are in the Hebrew, and they're in the Old Testament. One is neshama, and it's only used once. It's used in Isaiah, and it refers to the mind or angry breath or divine inspiration or vital breath. And the other is nefesh. And when it says that God breathed into man's mouth and he became a living soul, that word soul is nefesh. And in usually, well, all other usages of this word in the Old Testament are the word nefesh, referring to breath life. In the New Testament, in the Greek, the word that is used is psuche, which is also a reference to breath. In every reference in the New Testament to the soul is referring to your breath life, to your soul. Now, as it pertains to what is the soul, what is the soul? Well, in Hebrew it was nefesh, but in Greek, soul, the word for soul is psyche. It actually references a psychological noun, and it's talking about your mind, will, and emotions, and the degrees of understanding of that. Now, in the Greek, nous is one reference to mind, which is actually the self in its rational function. It asks the question, what do I need to do? Another word in Greek for mind is phronema, mind. It is the self as deeply contemplating, asking the question, how am I going to do what I'm going to do? And another reference in the Greek for mind is cardia, heart, meaning the self is manifesting a complex of attitudes. What do I value? What's important to me, right? And then you have thelesis in the Greek, which is also a reference to the mind in Greek, which is referring to your will, which is the self as choosing or deciding. What am I going to do, etc. So the thought is, after you go through all these references to the soul and the mind, will, and emotions, the one word that's important here is pneuma, which is spirit, which is the self when thought of apart from earthly connections. So when God said to Adam, when you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die, he lost his spirit at that moment. And you remember that the lie that the devil told you, Eve, was you shall not surely die, right? Well, that is the same thing that is being propagated today when we say that we shall not surely die. And the fact is that there needs to be a resurrection, because we are all going to find ourselves in gravedom. We are all going to even, and think about it, if anybody deserved to immediately go to heaven as soon as he died, it was Jesus Christ. And even Jesus Christ saw death for 3 days and three nights. So as you read through the scripture, you're going to find many instances where it is referencing this understanding of death until the resurrection, referring to a state of unconsciousness. And that is simply my position.
Okay. Did anybody want to have any questions to ask Lester regarding that or to dialogue with him about it?
This state of unconsciousness is deeper than that, Lester, because when you go to Solomon, Solomon tells you that he goes into depth and to explain death and the meaning of life. So when he tells you that that the soul of man, the spirit of man, it goes back to God who gave it, and the body goes to the dust, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That means that this body will not be resurrected, but we'll have a new body. See, he said we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The soul of man will have a new body. So therefore, this body that someone may have had an amputated, like my grandmother had an amputated leg, when she is resurrected, she'll have a new body. We'll never grow old. It won't be, she died at 82. She didn't have any consciousness of what was going on. People had to take care of her. She was sick. There won't be any more sickness, any more pain. We cannot fathom or think about what in our minds, what it's going to be like having a new body like that that will never, ever die. That's what I wanted to bring.
Well, thank you for the dialogue about that. Last week, we had such an inviting conversation, and I was really grateful to Lester for kind of sharing his perspective on soul sleep versus, you know, us immediately being caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And that way we know there's so many different people who have different perspectives. And so because we do have those different perspectives, we want other people to know how they can go back to the Word and read for themselves and study the Scriptures and get their own understanding. I just ask that those of you who are on the line will continue to go forward as you have. For some reason, my phone is being kicked in and out of the studio. So, but this is our last week as we talk about heaven. And in our previous discussions, as Lester brought up, we talked about death, physical and spiritual. We understood that spiritual death was separation from God. Not only was it an event, but it was a state, as he explained. And we come to Christ empty-handed, and we can RSVP, we can put in our preparation to go to heaven by admitting that we sin, accepting Christ's forgiveness, placing our trust in Christ's death on the cross and resurrection from the dead, and asking Jesus as Lord to empower us and help us to follow him. And for those of us who know Christ, our destiny is heaven, hallelujah. And for those who don't know Christ, their destiny is hell. And John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And so we asked the questions last week, where do we go when we die? And we kind of entertained that a little bit today. But as we did that, we understood that for those of us who believe that Paul said, absent with the body, present with the Lord, that we go immediately to be with God, and that is what we call the present heaven. That is the place where Christians go when they die. And at death, the human spirit goes either to God's presence or is separated from God. And when Christian followers die, they enter, as I said earlier, into what theologians call the intermediate state, a transitional period between our past lives on earth and our future resurrection to the new heaven and the new earth. So today we're going to discuss our final destination, our last discussion on our brief introduction to heaven. And remember, if you've got questions, those of you who are out there in the audio audience listening, then you can always text us or email us at drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. Again, that's drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. And send your questions, send the things that you'd like to have us talk to you about and share. Now, what's really interesting to me is about 10 years ago, only 8% of Americans believed in heaven. However, after 9/11, that rose to approximately 68%. So as we look at the scriptures teaching on the afterlife, our final destination, not the immediate state, but our final destination will have us living on the new heaven and new earth forever. And those of you are saying, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Well, let's look at Romans 8, 19 through 22. Can I get someone to get Romans 8, 19 through 22? And for the scripture after that, is there who would volunteer to do that one, please? Romans 8.
I will, James. I'll do it.
Thank you, James. Can I get someone to get 2 Peter? Greg, would you do that one? 2 Peter 3, 10 through 13? 2 Peter, the third chapter, through the 13th verse. That's the one that was read initially. So while you're getting that, Greg, we're going to start with the first passage in Romans, and we're going to talk about it. Can I get you to go ahead and read that, James, when you're ready?
For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against his will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time.
Now, I want us to think about that and tell me what first hit you. But let me go back and pick up one more verse. I'm sorry. Verse 18 says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. So what's the first thing that hit you, Dr. Nook, when you read that passage?
Well, if you had the 18th verse, that's what would hit me the greatest, is that our suffering now is nothing compared to what we're going to be receiving. But it's hard to get beyond our current suffering and even understand it. It blows our minds to think, even understand that we will live forever. So when we're 60 years old, 50 years old, we think that we're near the end of our lives, or 70 or 80 or even 90, and we're just beginning. We haven't even begun to live. And so the things that we feel in our body and on this earth now that are decaying and dying, and creation all around us, things die. But we're going to be experiencing a new life, a new heaven, a new earth. Everything is going to be new. So, I mean, we're babies. And that lifts my spirits, because I realize that no matter what I'm going through or what I have gone through, no matter what kind of pain and suffering, God's got something better prepared for me beyond this existence.
Amen.
And that makes me want to shout.
Amen. Eric, since I know you have been in and out with us today, what do you think about that text?
Well, I'm with Brother Nooks. I mean, the joy to come forever, we cannot comprehend based on the pain that we suffer in this world and in this body. And so all the aches and pains and heartaches for me, as I prepare for what's to come, will be well worth it, knowing what the reward is. It's kind of like, you know, when Paul talks about running the race. I mean, if you run the race and you're running for a standard, you're running for, you know, gold or what have you, and you know you're the best, that all the training and all the agony is worth what you've gone through when you receive the prize. So just looking forward to that day.
Amen. And Brother Greg.
Yes. 2 Peter, the third chapter, and what verses?
No. We're still on Romans 8. We're talking about Romans 8, 19 through 22. So my question is, what is it that jumped out at you in that text? Let me go ahead while you're thinking about that. For me, the thing that jumped out for me, in addition to what you guys have brought up, is that the creation is going to change. And I'm looking at the groaning of the earth. I mean, we've been having tsunamis. We got these earthquakes we're having. In Indiana, there are earthquakes. We're having mudslides. We're having, the earth is groaning. And it did not hit me until the words groaning that depicts so awesomely how I experience the earth when we're having the tsunamis and when we're having the earthquakes. You know, people are fracking in Oklahoma City. And because they're fracking, the earth is crying out and they're having earthquakes and tremors in Oklahoma where they used to didn't. And when we do stuff to the earth, it does groan, and it's interesting to think of it that way. That's what jumped out at me, in addition to those other things. Greg, did you have anything?
Only thing I want to say is that we can't stay here. That's for certain.
Amen. Amen. So let's go ahead, and as we talk about what the earth is doing, I guess my question would be, why is the earth groaning? Lester, can you have any idea why the earth is groaning?
Well, a part of any transition is change. So think about when you birth your child. That groaning is a part of the transition. And they actually speak of a part of childbirth as transition, where you dilate and then you're bringing forth as a result of contractions and intense pain something that is going to be new. And when we talk about this verse 20 where it says, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from this bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God, that is a real transition. And, you know, we believe God's word for what things are available right now, but we hope for that which is not available yet, but is to come because God promised it, and that's the hope.
Amen. And the other understanding is for us to see that the reason why our bodies decay is because of what? The curse.
Sin.
The reason why the earth is being destroyed and is groaning is also because of the curse. Yeah. The very thing you talked about, when Adam sinned, things changed. When Adam and Eve sinned, things changed. And once we were under that curse, the earth is groaning. The earth itself wants to be redeemed, wants to be resurrected, wants to be reconciled, wants to be redeemed, renewed. And why do you think earth redemption is essential to God's plan?
Because God promised that he will dwell with man, and man will dwell with God, and all things, I think that's the essence of it, is that promise that we will dwell in perfect harmony with our Heavenly Father is what the adversary works against every day.
Exactly. And the sin that we brought into this world will be no more. And as it's no more, the earth no longer groans, the earth can be renewed, we can be renewed, we can all be cleansed and taken back to our, you know, I guess it goes back to the definition of renewal. When something is renewed in the original state. And so that's kind of what we're talking about tonight. When we're looking at this creation that's changing and conforming, is there anybody else who wants to talk about anything else before we go to the next text? Greg, would you read the next text? Go ahead.
This is James.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring up a point about the connectedness of creation and humanity, and I think everybody has seen the movie Avatar, and where all the life was connected together, And when I think of the redemption of creation and the redemption of humanity, I think of us being connected, and what we do affects our creation. And I know there are some that don't, that believe that what we do doesn't affect it, but our greed, it's like you talked about fracking and wanting more and more and more and more and taking more and more and not giving. I really think we affect creation. I don't think creation is separate from us. And God is in all of it, all of that. God is in creation. God is in humanity. And what we do, it affects those around us. It affects creation. And when we go against God, we go against creation. We go against what God wants us to be. And it, I think it has an effect on us. I don't think we are separate beings. I think we are connected.
And I think that's a really important part for us to look at our relationship. It's not just our relationship, as you said, to one another, but to our creation and to God. And so I think that's very important to see that all of that has to be redeemed, restored, and renewed. Thank you for that, Dr. Nick. 2 Peter 3, 10 through 13.
Okay, 2 Peter 3, 10 through 13 reads, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day the heavens will pass away with a dreadful noise. The elements will be consumed by fire, and the earth and all the works done on it will be exposed. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you be? You must live holy and godly lives, waiting for and hastening the coming day of God. Because of that day, the heavens will be destroyed by fire, and the elements will melt away in the flames. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness is at home." What verses, Drew?
That was it. Amen. So what jumped out at you when you heard that, Brother Greg? Does anybody else have a translation that's more explicit?
It's basically, a letter to the church telling us that we ought to, be waiting in expectation, thinking on these things, meditating on them, knowing that the day of the Lord is going to come. It's going to take those who are not waiting on it like a thief, but everything is revealed to us who believe on the Lord Jesus. And this earth, as we know it, this earth and this heaven is going to pass away. So everything in it, we all have to leave here. We can't stay here. And since everything is going to be that way, we ought to, this is why that we ought to be careful for nothing. We need to live our lives like we are pilgrims and strangers on our way through here. And the new heaven, we'll be able to enjoy it, and the new earth, we'll be able to fellowship and be in the new earth with God.
The question to the group is, do we focus on these scriptures about heaven often? I want to hear your feedback. Do you read scriptures or preach on or hear about scriptures about heaven and the new earth and this type of the study of heaven often? Do you all do that often,
no,
or do we focus on others? We don't do that, but why? When my question is, why is it that we don't do that? And I know it's not as interesting, and I know it doesn't give us 6 steps of salvation for us, but if God put it in the Word, in the Word of God, Is it not important? And why is it that we don't want to do it? And Eric, do you have any idea? Greg? Lester?
Yes.
The reason why that we don't want to do it is because we have our own agendas. We want, there's things that we want every day that we strive for. We strive for mastery in them. We're trying to accumulate stuff, stuff that's going to rust away, stuff that fire is going to burn, stuff that water is going to dissolve. We're going after stuff that is going to pass away. And these things are not important in the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, that's what we're wasting our time. That's what we're doing. God has given us time and told us to be stewards over it, and we're wasting it. That's what we're doing.
What do you think, Lester?
I have a thought. I believe that because people don't know or understand that a crown of righteousness, an eternal reward, is waiting for you when you focus and look
yes.
forward to
yes.
that great day of Jesus Christ's return, when we're going to be raised
yes.
and those of us who are alive are going yes. to be changed and caught up. And what is important about that is that if you believe that is happening, the way that you live is affected by that. You are going to live
I'm gonna
in anticipation now. And preparation for the return, because it could happen at any moment. It could happen right now. and that is
and
something
brother,
that we look forward to.
Brother Lester, don't you think that the enemy doesn't want us to focus on having hope so that we stay earth minded and we're not heavenly minded? And so when we have to leave this world, it's like we're clawing to hold on. We don't want to let go. When we don't, it's because we don't understand what's in store, the hope that we have for God is doing, the passion of what God has done to prepare for us. It says it's far greater than anything that we can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
That God has done
That's
these things. Because what was it mm-hmm. just said earlier? It said something about the suffering, that it wouldn't even match. What we suffer now
right.
is nothing compared to the glory. My goodness, if we thought of that, would we be dragging around trying to, let me say 100, to a few more years longer? It would be, I heard Eric say one time, I'm ready to go anytime. I heard him talk about how, I want to be with the Lord. And so for those of us who stop and we are studying and we are looking forward to God's return, and what we can have with the Lord, it's like, okay. The fear is taken away. The fear of leaving this world behind. Now, I'm going to be honest. Do I have some reserves about dying? Of course, but it's only about pain. It's not about what I'm going to receive or where I'm going to go. I just pray, Lord, don't help me not to have pain. But I have to accept whatever it is that God gives me. But about death itself, I am looking forward to sitting at God's feet. Hallelujah. I can just hear, you talk about the angels who are saying, holy, 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 that God is so powerful, that they cover with their own wings. I'm the majesty. When Isaiah talked about it, I was in the temple and realized how insignificant I was in the presence of God. Hallelujah. I'm excited. But I think it's important for us to understand that the enemy doesn't want us to get excited about this. The enemy doesn't want us to look forward to it and to read these scriptures and to study to see what we have on the other side to look forward to. So while we're going through the suffering, as Lester was saying, while we're struggling here on this side of the Jordan, then we can have hope. And, I used to get upset as a young person. I didn't fully understand. You know how the slaves are always talking about those songs? Come on, brother, mix your thing. It seems like everything was, when I get to heaven, I'm going to put on my clothes, or we can celebrate when we get to heaven, but we can't deal with the now. And I used to think, wow,
you know, is really bad that they can't even enjoy now. But what it is they knew that no matter what they had here, it couldn't touch what God had in store for us when we get there. So can we, are there
question.
Any other? Yes, go ahead.
That's a good question. Do you think that they understood the value of the soul more than we do today?
Value of what?
Repeat the question, then answer.
Do you think that the slaves back there, back then, that used to sing those songs, valued the soul more than we do today?
And I'm going to say that I believe that they were in tune with the spirit. A lot of times, you know, tribulation works things out of you. And as you look around, you know, you look for a better place. It's got to be something better than this. They were groaning in their spirits for another place, for something better. And so their spirit connected with God's spirit, and they were, and the revelation was given to them of the heaven, this new heaven, and so they began to take the scriptures and rationalize it and to fantasize it and look at it and say, you know what, I've got a robe. All God's children have a robe. I have shoes. All God's children have shoes. Well, where they were, not everybody had a shoe. Not everybody had Sunday best to wear. But over in God's new world, everyone had shoes. Everyone. And the street of heaven was so beautiful. They compared them to streets of gold. And the gates were so beautiful. They compared it to gates with jewels on them. And you know, it's just a place to be desired of. And there had to be something greater than where they were. And I believe that
I want to say thank you. But just before, because we got 15 minutes out, I want us to get to the rest of these scriptures, but. Before we leave the 2 Peter 3:10, I want us to understand that is what's going to happen there, is that it says the elements, talking about the heaven, the celestial earth will be burned up. And something's going to happen. Now, I don't believe that it's going to be totally destroyed myself, because when we had Brother Lester and James and those of you on the line, Eric, when the earth was destroyed by water, was it totally gone? No. But it was renewed, right?
Yes.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It
yes.
was renewed. And so I believe that no matter what, as we see that this earth is being destroyed, yet it is being renewed, just like our bodies are going to be destroyed when we die. But we will be renewed. God is, as I think Brother Greg said last week about the scripture that said that no matter where we are, our bodies will be brought forth from the sea, from the air, from wherever it is. So we don't have to worry about dying in a plane or in a boat or wherever it is. Our bodies will be resurrected and redeemed. Just like the earth, no matter what particles God has to take and reform and refashion to draw forth from those atoms and molecules that are there, the earth will be restored. Because, see, the enemy would win if it was destroyed, and God is not going to let that be destroyed, but then it would be renewed as it was in the beginning. So as we look at that cleansing of the earth, as we understand that it's going to be burned up, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Let's read Revelation 21, 1 through 3. And if you don't have it, I'll just go ahead. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first time, excuse me, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and God will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, hallelujah, and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write these down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So what does that mean to you guys when you hear that?
Well, Dr. Susie, I can say that there will be a completely new earth and a completely new heaven, because the first heaven and earth is going to pass away completely. You know, what God creates, what God does, I don't think that where we're going is going to be complete holiness. No darkness at all, no evil, no taintedness. All of this is tainted. All this earth is tainted. It's corruptible. But now everything that
we get a couple. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were finished. I'm sorry. You got a couple of minutes. We got about 5 minutes left.
That's all I had to say.
Okay. Lester, did you want to say something to James before we close? Tell me what you perceive from that scripture.
Just about God dwelling with his people. And I think that is what we need to see, is God has established a time and a place to dwell with his people.
Amen. James, Dr. Nook.
I just...
Wherever God is, there's got to be heaven.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I just got how awesome this event is going to be, and it's beyond my understanding, but if you look at this, all the planets, all the celestial beings, all the celestial places, stars, all of that will be burned up, the sun, the moon. Everything will change. I mean, and everything that we can see in the galaxies of galaxies will be changed. And sometimes we limit God, and we limit the space of God and the... But all of that's going to change. I mean, and that's all going to be part of the new heaven and the new earth. And it's just mind-boggling to think of what it's going to be like and what we are going to be like. And what... Go ahead.
No, I thought you had... My phone goes in and out, and I don't hear you talking. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, that's all right. I was just saying how awesome this event is going to be. And that we're going to be with God in this, and we can't even imagine what this is going to be like.
Amen. I think it's everything you all said, I want to say ditto. The heavens will not be as we know them. There's a cleansing, a burning up. There's a unification of heaven and earth. They will be one. It won't be the separation that it talks about before, according to the scripture that we just read. And if God had destroyed this earth, then Satan would have won, but Satan did not win. God placed together the earth with all its renewed glory, as in the beginning. Heaven and earth, as you and I know it, will be one. We'll be on heaven. We'll be on the new heaven and the new earth, and all creation. And what we have recognized is that everything God has promised will be. And so I get excited about this, and that's why it's important to me when we read the scriptures and we understand what God is saying about God's word. And he says at the end that God will dwell with them, that they will be God's people, and God himself will be with them, that he will wipe away every tear. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. And for me, that's a celebration in itself, not to mention the majesty of the beauty of the creation. You know, if it's going to be renewed to its natural state, we have an imagination of what the garden was like. Oh, what about the new heaven, new earth? Praise God. Hallelujah. Can I get those of you to have prayer requests? Just, I want to say one or two prayer requests for tonight. And then if Dr. Nook, if you will close us in prayer tonight, I just wanted to say thank you all for working through this information. One last question. What thing did you have to think about differently than you did before? Or what did it bring to your mind if you've already thought of these things before that you hadn't in a long time? So I'm going to start with Lester and then Greg and then James.
I'm just about the total destruction of everything. And you know, when God says it's all going to be new, apparently he means it. That's what it sounds like to me. So that was the thing mm-hmm. that I saw that was new.
Amen. Greg?
I'm looking at what was brought out tonight. Someone brought out that all the planets and the sun and everything was going to be no more. And that's something that I didn't think about. You know, we can only think about what we see and try to associate that with the things that are not seen. No one can imagine nothing and then God hovering over the darkness, and then he speaks and everything comes out of nothing. So we can't really picture what the creation was about, so how can we really picture what the new heaven and earth will be like? So that really was something to study, and it was interesting and edifying to me.
I've used my imagination, and I think as pretty as it is in my imagination, I know it's far more glorified and beautiful than that. So, Dr. Nix, what thing did you get out of this study that it reminded you about and made you think of differently?
This study made me think of heaven, first heaven, the second heaven, an intermediate heaven, final heaven, a new heaven and a new earth. And I think it made me think about the soul and the spirit and just how God may do all this. I don't know, but it made me really think about how different things are going to be, and kind of renewed or uplifted my spirit somewhat to understand how much God loves me, that God would do all this for me, even when I
Amen.
Don't do so well. So I'm grateful.
This is
and excited.
Thank you. This is Dr. Susie, and the interesting thing for me is I really look forward to heaven in a way that I didn't before. You know, I take it literally when it talks about the streets of gold and the beauty of the gates that are filled with agate, beryl, and the various gems, the pearls, the beauty, the river of life, and how God so, his light is that which is so brilliant that we don't need the moon and the stars, but God, the brightness from the Lord is all that we need is light. And I think of the I don't know, but I hear people who've had these near-death experiences, and the very thing that they talk about is the love and the peace that they feel. And it's so magnificent that they can't describe it in words. And when I think about that, it's like it takes my breath away. And I think of God loves me so much that all of my faults will disappear. They'll melt away. And the love and the connection that I have with God will be supreme. And so I praise God for that. And I hope those of you who have listened tonight and you have been listening as we talked about heaven these last several weeks, that you have a hope now and that you do not fear death, but that you look forward to the relationship that you have with God being closer and closer and closer. Dr. Litz, would you please close us in prayer? Is there anyone else who had something they wanted to say as a closing statement? We have another minute or two.
Well, God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you, God, for revealing yourself to us through your word, that we might understand you better. And God, we are understanding that you love us even beyond our understanding. And your love is great, and heaven is great. And it's even beyond our imagination, the new heaven and the new earth. And what's beyond our imagination also is how much you love us. And God, that gives us comfort, knowing that a mighty God loves us so much that he died for us and has also prepared a better place for us. We thank you for the presence, your presence in our lives, and for your guidance in the Bible study. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us and lets us know that we are your children. God, lead and guide us and help us as we strive to do your will. Knowing about you and about heaven helps us to be more determined to do what is pleasing in your sight. God, we love you, and we know you love us. Help us as we struggle with ourselves. Help us with the battles that we have. God is right, God. Evil is always good. Help us. Thanks for the Bible. That's good night.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection.
Amen.
Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.